This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everybody? Friday night, wrestling night, independent comics night, indie alley night. What is up, everybody? How you doing? Did you enjoy the pay-per-view? Did you enjoy the pay-per-view, Fred?
What pay-per-view? Oh, Full Gear.
Full Gear. Like, I know it's been forever.
What pay-per-view are you talking about? Well, yeah, I did. Absolutely. I loved it.
No, I meant GCW. Did you like that?
I don't remember that one as much. Watched so much of it. Mance Warner was on it. Yes, I do. I did like that. It was pretty good. There was some really graphic stuff this time on GCW that is not my cup of tea. But if you're a CCW fan, then you'll like some of that stuff.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that later when we get into the wrestling. There was a lot of hardcore and a lot of people whining about the hardcore. That's what I would describe this week as, a whiny week. What do you think?
Isn't that every week on Twitter?
Well, on Twitter, yes. But I think in general, it seemed like podcasts were whiny. There was just a lot of whiny, you know?
Yeah.
Be happy. It's almost Thanksgiving. It's almost Christmas.
Yeah, that's why they're whining, so they can practice when they go home and see their family, so they get sympathy. But my dad always said you find sympathy in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. So... you know, but I was raised by a military man, so what the hell?
I'm kind of speechless. Where does speechless fall in that? Because I'm, I have no retort to that one.
I don't know.
All right, well, let's do some comic books then. Wow. Yeah, we had three really good comic books, in my opinion. Before we even read them, we were like, oh, man. Look at this lineup of comic books. Look at these writers. Look at these artists. So we were pretty excited for the comics this week. And I think they lived up to the hype. Maybe not what we expected from them necessarily, but they lived up to the hype. They're good comic books. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and jump into the first one. It's called Death or Glory. It's issue number 6. Glory is back and barreling toward the Mexican border in the hopes of delivering the liver transplant to save her father's life. Hot on her heels is her ex-husband, his criminal empire, crooked cops, psycho killers, and a Mexican murder cartel. Time, fuel, and hope are running out, but no one outruns Glory. Written by Rick Remender, art by Bengal, letters by Russ Wooten, published by Image. Death or Glory is back.
Yes, Death or Glory is back after a long break. And I don't suggest issue 6 as a jumping on point, even though it's a new story arc. I do recommend either reading the paragraph next to it, and if you on the left-hand page of the cover, inside of the cover to be exact, that might catch you up with things, but I'd suggest reading the first arc, and the first arc was tremendous. This, just looking at this book, the cover of the book reminds me of like a 1970s poster, movie poster. Maybe even something Quentin Tarantino would direct. You get some cars, you get two Amish chicks, you get some luchador masks, some money floating around, you know, all that stuff. Something new.
Some redneck sheriffs.
Yeah, and then you get Glory. Yeah. And this issue, you know, through the first 5 issues, it's been like a chase scene, total nonstop action, adrenaline rush, whatever you may call it. But we do get introduced into a new character, and it doesn't say his actual name, but I believe, Mr. Rhyme, the germaphobe guy, gets a phone call from, and he when he gets a phone call, he says, Dickless Frankenstein. So we get this picture of Dickless Frankenstein, because I don't know his name. He's a guy from New Orleans. He has no man region because he's looking for a transplant. He looks a lot like Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. Maybe a little bigger fro. Maybe Ben Wallace, Fear the Fro, you know, for Detroit Bad Boys. Shout out.
A little bit of Afro, yeah. Samurai action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then he has like this feeling he really is into Richard Nixon. Hence, he was known as Tricky Dick. This chick is doing the one wing angel, wing clipper, whatever Joey said earlier on him, wearing the the Richard Nixon mask and stuff. So he's just a freaky dude, man. You look around his room and there's like half bodies of like women's torso parts, you know, things like that. That was interesting. The phobia part of the guy having the phobias was interesting to me as well. Glory's still on the run. And where this ends is it's going to be even crazier because Glory's going to get some help from the coyotes. So I was wondering, how did you feel about this book, Andrew?
This book was a trip in the sense that I wasn't ready for it. I'd forgotten, kind of. It's been a long time since we read the last one. So I totally had forgotten this world, to be honest. And it was like, pow! And I'm like, wow, where's the rest of the movie? Because I don't know what the hell's going on. I forgot who all these people are. And like, you're seeing all these people and you're trying to piece together. Okay, why are they running again? Oh, why are those people again? Oh, yeah, they're doing this. Oh, yeah, they're trying to get the liver across. Oh, yeah, that's her husband. Why does he not have an arm? And I'm like trying to put all this stuff together. And it was like, whoa. So you're not lying. You have to really go back and read the other issues. And that's what I should have done. But, you know, I've got so many comics that need to be filed. I sure as hell ain't going to pull out ones that are filed. You know, but it was a lot to take in. To like, so you kind of had to take a deep breath and then kind of pause and look at it again. Like, okay, yeah, I'm starting to remember these guys, and then see it again. Like, you, even before the show, we were kind of talking and I forgot some stuff. I was like, oh yeah, that happened this issue. But it's great looking because Bengal kicks ass in this book. Like you said, Glory looks really awesome. And I like the Tarantino reference because there is so many characters that it feels like a Tarantino movie. There's lots of dialogue and there's lots of people and lots of interesting, you know, rogues and characters that are bouncing around. Yeah, it's the chase. It's back in the cars. And it's got luchadors, which is always good for us because we're a wrestling show. Yeah, it's really good. The germaphobe dude is a trip. He's like a germaphobe. But he's here, he is torturing and killing people. So he's constantly getting blood on himself, on his face in different places and freaking out. So that was kind of cool. That was good for laughs.
Do you have any, like, phobias?
Snakes. Fuck snakes. I
hate snakes.
Uh-uh. I don't like snakes. I don't care. They're not cute. Not even the, like, you know, pet ones.
Yeah,
no.
Like, for me, it would be Canadian geese because I've been attacked by Canadian geese. Canadians are assholes, if you ask me. I mean, the geese, not the people. The people are great, eh? love the beer. But, yeah, those things are mean. Speaking of that, here's a, not to get off topic, but we went to Tennessee, and the old lady's family lives in the Nashville area, and they're like, hey, you guys want to go feed the ducks? We showed up to this lake, and they were all Canadian geese, and they're walking up to them. And I'm like, are you guys fucking crazy? What is wrong with you? First of all, they're not ducks. These are Canadian geese. And they're like, how do you know that they're Canadian? I said, well, you got to eat their shit and find out if it tastes like maple syrup. No, that's not what I said. But anyways, you know, I just looked at them. I'm like, these people do not know that they are geese and not ducks. But yeah, sorry to get off topic. I had to get that out. It's just bad memories and... you know, I'm trying to teach some people in the South.
Sounds sweet. I've never met a Canadian geese. I don't know what's the difference. What are they, like, extra fucking aggressive?
Yeah,
or
they're the ones that have, like, the black bills and they have, like, you know, a mask. It looks like mask around their eyes and stuff. They look gangster as hell, actually. I mean, I don't know why people... You find them at golf course and stuff around here and stuff, and they just... They hiss at you and things like that. They are not nice. And I think they're intimidated because, you know, I got a big nose. So, you know, they're like, oh, he's one of us. And they want to peck the shit out of me. I don't know. But I've been attacked and chased. Wow. And it's not cool.
It doesn't sound cool. I'm worried about snakes and you're over here chasing, having birds.
Yeah, I hate
chasing.
Birds. Birds. Ugh.
Wow, okay.
Where were we?
I have no idea where we were. Death and glory.
Oh, speaking of birds, the Red Rooster, the bar, the lunch place here gets blown up and stuff in this book.
Oh, the diner. Yeah, the trucker diner's gone. All the people are killed, all their friends.
And that's where Glory's family, isn't that where her dad worked or he hung out?
I think he hung out. I don't know if he worked there, but he hung out because his dad was a trucker. And yeah, so now they have to get across that border, so they're going to have to deal with some coyotes to get them across. And they kind of drive up, it ends, they're driving into this place that looks like straight out of From Dusk Till Dawn, you know, when they go across into Mexico on From
like
Dusk Till
Dawn. Like Juarez or something. Huh?
Yeah, I think it is Juarez.
I'm not sure,
yeah,
but that's the vibe I get, because Juarez is pretty gangster, but El Paso, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what it feels like, that bar that Cheech is out in front.
Oh, where he's filling. Like, they got all types of, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. Place. We got chicken. Yeah.
We got geese.
Oh, here we go again. I'm going to get off topic.
But it's a really cool book, though.
Yeah, I really like it a lot. And like you said, the art is really good. I like the feel. Like, I'm just glad that it's back because, you know, Remender was working on the show, was a Deadly Class, and he kind of put this on hold, and I'm glad it's back. Now I can't wait to read issue 7 because we're in Mexico, and, you know, I just can't wait.
This book started and stuttered. The comeback started and stuttered so many times. I don't know. I think at least twice it got canceled on my DCBS order. Because it kept getting delayed.
Because of that.
And I was like, wow, is this book ever coming back? And I forgot about it. It kind of gave me one of those doomsday clock kind of things where I was like, oof.
Yeah.
So when you said, hey, it's back, I was like, oh, shit, I don't even remember what's about.
Yeah, because the last time we, I think, covered this, we were recording with Chris still when we were Street Level Floppy. So it's been quite a while. I mean,
I'd say it's 6 to 8 months, maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Oh, but it looks great. All right. Well, our next book is Undiscovered Country Number 1, the big one everyone's talking about. In this special, oversized first issue, readers will journey into the New York future and an unknown nation that was once the United States of America, a land that's become shrouded in mystery after walling itself off from the rest of the world without explanation over 30 years ago. When a team seeking a cure for a global pandemic breaches U.S. borders, they quickly find themselves in a struggle to survive this strange and deadly lost continent. Story by Scott Snyder and Charles Soule. Art by Giuseppe Camuccoli, I believe. Camuccoli. And Danielle Orlandini. Colors by Matt Wilson. Letters by Crank. This is an image book. Undiscovered Country.
All right. This book I was really looking forward to reading, especially because two of the best writers of the big two, I mean, Snyder and Soule with Batman and Daredevil, just working together. And this book did not let me down. I did know going into this book that it was going to be dialogue heavy because that's Scott Snyder. That's his style. He gives you a lot of information. We get a lot of we get introduced into a lot of characters. You know, they tell us a little bit about each one. This seems really close to home, to modern day stuff, because a lot of people seem to think that we can do everything on our own here in America. This book tells a different story where the rest of the world suffers, and so do we. Because of it, and I get a lot of like a Mad Max feel with this book, especially with like the animals and stuff, like the creatures they're riding is like some Star Wars shit. I'm looking at the panel, like there's like the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard somehow makes it America, and a 57 Chevy. So. Which I was, you know, I only know it's a 57 Chevy because the fins. I'm not a car guy, but that's a car I did really like a lot as a kid, and you know, so yeah, man. I like this book. It's really thought out in the process, like the back of the book, like the timelines and things like that. They give you like tons of information or how they came up with it, especially like there's a letter from Snyder that tells like him and Soul's story as well, and there's so much information in this book. I had to read it twice. It's a great book, man. How did you feel about it?
Depressed when I read it. I mean, I liked it a lot, but wow, was it depressing. When I was reading it, I was like, this is too real. I mean, I know you're sitting here. What do you mean? Like, Mad Max Land is real? You're stupid. That's being silly. And I was like, no, but how we got here? It's pretty real. When they broke down that timeline, how China called in our debt, and then we had this problem, and then the power grid went down for, like, what did it say, like a couple weeks or something like that. And America kind of like went kind of a little bonkers during that and had to like burn their furniture and burn all kinds of crazy stuff to like survive because it was the winter and we had no electricity. And I'm like, oh, this is all kind of like eerily like dystopian scary. Like it could really happen. It kind of freaked me. And then finally the way they choose to deal with it all is they just decide, okay, we're done with the world. We're just going to wall up and no one else can come to the U.S. We're just going to be our own thing. And then now we finally get to see the U.S. and it's like this really creepy place. And it, you know, you said Mad Max. I also thought of Marvel. I'm going to think of like the way the worlds became in like, say, Old Man Logan, Old Man Hawkeye, those books where it's like the way future and everything's, yeah, like you said, all Mad Max and all kind of just wild. You know what I mean? And it seems like it's broken down like that for us. There's a map that's showing us these different regions of the United States and giving us kind of clues what the people might be like in these different regions. So I'm assuming this is going to be a really long run because to explore all these places, this is kind of Walking Dead-ish. You know, we brought up that last week. You know, we're talking a big world with lots of factions and lots to discover and lots of characters. I think it's going to be really good, but this first issue just kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in, especially like the things that we see daily here in America. But it's I like that it's culturally aware. The one thing I did like I didn't like as much as how much it like jumped around like 3 days before 4 years, you know, that type of stuff, the flashbacks. You know, that kind of threw me off.
I think you're gonna get a lot of that.
Yeah, that threw me off a little bit. The part where the guy comes on and he's like talking about like, hey, if you come here and stuff, we can get you. See, they're trying to cure a virus in their own place. It's called the Sky Virus, or is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it is called the Sky Virus.
And, you know, that's how he kind of recruits these people to come over and stuff. And they're the first people that came into this country or the United States since, you know, 30 years since the wall went up. And what they found out is that guy is, it wasn't what he led them to believe. Like, he made it sound like, oh, everything's great, it's prospering, everything's outstanding. They get there and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like he represented the whole country and he's just some dude. Yeah, not good. And it's not just a physical wall. It's like an internet electric wall kind of thing. Like, there's no information coming in and out of there.
Right.
There's no access to anything, all firewalled out. So nobody knows what's been happening in the United States for 30 years. And from the looks of it, it's fallen to shit is what's happened to it. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like you said, the Mad Max, the strong survives, or there's these band of bandits and killers that just roam around taking what they want.
Yeah.
Scary shit.
Yeah, it is. And then, the payoff at the end where you see like Sam Elgin, Michael Elgin's grandfather or something, I don't know. Michael Elgin's a wrestler for you guys that don't watch wrestling, comic book fans. That was a joke. But yeah, it seems to be Uncle Sam. I thought that was a little bit cheesy, but I thought it was cool in the same point because then I was like, oh, see, he's recruiting them to save America. So I was like, all right, let's go. I'm interested in this book. I like it a lot. It's a lot to take in because it's real close to reality and can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this book's going to get really deep and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot to explore in this book. All the extra stuff is outstanding. It's well thought out. You know, it really adds to your enjoyment of the story of what's going on.
Yeah. And how can you not like something from Soule and Snyder? And
yeah.
And it's a lot to take in, though. If you're not into like political books and stuff, then you probably shouldn't read this.
Yeah, like it's like deep espionage type stuff too. You know what I mean? So like they talk about how they have friends in the CIA.
Yeah.
They bounce things off. Like, oh yeah, something like that's happened or could have happened. And you're like, oh, that even scared me more.
Right.
So yeah. But definitely check it out if this is your thing. There's a mystery here. There's a, you know, it's an action book too, but it's not supernatural, would you say? Like, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that people have powers or anything.
No, no, because if they had powers, I mean, why would they be looking for help?
Yeah, true. True. So it's just people.
Right.
But, yeah, but just kind of a really messed up society.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, notice Fred didn't even have very many jokes for this one. It just kind of boom.
It was a little more, it's more serious. But this next book, I got plenty of jokes for.
Okay. The next book was the one I was excited for because it has dogs. And every time it was dogs, you got me.
Yeah.
So Lock and Key Dog Days number one. Two new stories by creator Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. Nailed It and Dog Days. Plus a behind-the-scenes tease of the coming TV series and a five-page preview of the all-new series by Hill and artist Martin Simmons. Written by Joe Hill. Art by Gabriel Rodriguez. Colors by J Photos. Letters by Sean Lee. IDW. Lock and Key Dog Days.
Okay, this book, right at the beginning, I had like a feel of like Little Rascals meets The Three Stooges. Because it's like the main family from Lock and Key's ancestors are fishing. Yeah. They're fishing and, you know, the kid, the alfalfa looking kid catches a fish and the fish comes out of the water and he's reeling it in. And all of a sudden the fat kid that looks like Chris Farley just jumps across and catches it in his mouth. And I'm like, okay, that's a little odd. That's not the only odd part about, we come to find out his name's Lloyd, and Lloyd does a lot of crazy stuff. He says crazy stuff. They're talking about the postman, and he's like, I wonder if his butthole smells like lunch. The first thing I thought was, well, can you tell if what somebody ate for lunch if you smell their butthole? I don't know. I've never tried it.
Oh, man.
What'd you have for lunch today, Andrew?
Nachos.
Oh, wow. Should I say I had pizza now? See what I did there? Anyways, you know, and this kid, Lloyd, his tongue was always hanging out and stuff. And he does some other crazy stuff. Like he talks about sometimes I throw up and I eat it. That's fun. Things like that. And I was like, wait a minute. That's something like a dog.
Can I eat your throw up?
Yeah, like, yeah. And I'm like, that's something a dog does, you know. So I keep reading, and the kid, they find him, like, drinking out of the toilet and stuff. And the kid's like, you got to drink with a glass. And he hands him a glass. So the kid just puts the glass in the toilet and starts drinking. And I'm like, what the fuck? This kid is something special. But, you know, this was a fun book. The payoff at the end, I was like, okay, this makes more sense. I enjoyed it. I normally don't get, like, you know, Joe Hill's like a horror type writer and things like that. And this was something different for me to read, like, comedy from him. And I was like, wow, you know, him and Gabriel Rodriguez had fun with this book. The art is awesome as always with, like, Rodriguez's art. Colors are wonderful. It was a fast read for me. How about you, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I went by fast, but I laughed. Even you just bringing it up, I could not stop laughing. It's one of those where you laugh out loud, and then you look back down, did I just read that right? And then you read it again, yep, that's what she said. Yeah. That's what he said. And then it's like, and it just kept going and going. And yeah, just you describing all the scenes, drinking out of the toilet. They give him a glass. He sticks the glass in the toilet and takes a drink out of it. This was so funny. And it's so funny. And when you realize what it is, you just cannot stop laughing. You know, it's like, of course, that's what's going on. But, man, you just think, what's up with this kid, man? What's wrong with this kid? Why is he doing all this stuff?
But, yeah, it's a fun book. And you could tell, like, with the art and stuff, Rodriguez's art, like, it was from that era, like, the Three Stooges, Little Rascals. And that's what made it fun for me, besides, like, that. The things that Lloyd did, and then when you find out Lloyd is like a What kind of dog is that?
I don't know. Is he a bulldog?
No, he's not a
bulldog, is he?
Bulldog, it's...
I thought he was a French bull, maybe.
No.
Maybe he's a corgi?
Yes, that's what it looks like. More like a corgi. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there, you know, at the end, after he comes through the door and things like that, he, they're talking about how boring it is to be a dog and stuff, and that must suck, but, you know, stuff like that. It was a good book. It's one shot. I enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see. It kind of gets me amped up to see him on Netflix soon.
What'd you think of the second story, though? There's no dialogue, really, in that second story.
That...
You know, he just pulls out that key, turns it, and the house flips.
Yeah, that was... I wasn't... It was more like the art. I like seeing, like, Rico mentioned on the Nerds from the Underground, like, how Gabriel Rodriguez was an architect and stuff. I liked looking at the house from that. But other than that, I wasn't... I still couldn't think about Lloyd being an actual dog and drinking on a toilet or talking about eating throw up that I couldn't get past it or smelling the postman's butthole. yeah.
But yeah, definitely a fun book. Like you said, I'm also excited now for some more Lock and Key and for the TV show. And yeah, this is going to be great. Though I don't know, you think Lloyd will make the TV show?
I sure hope so, man. That would be awesome. Because you need
flashback
some,
scene.
Yeah, you need some sort of comedy when you're watching like something kind of horror feeling. You know, like for instance, like Scream. If it wasn't for Matthew Lillard in the first Scream, I probably wouldn't have liked it because I find him hilarious. You know.
Well, that's our comic books this week. It's pretty quick, but they've all lived up to the hype for me. I enjoyed each one.
Mm-hmm.
Even the short one with the dog, that was probably my favorite.
Yes.
You got to have dogs, and no dogs died. Right. So that's already a win. And with Lock and Key, there's no guarantee things aren't going to die. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, let's get on to our wrestling then. Time to wrestle, nerds. All right, we're back with our wrestling for this week. First of all, we rehired Joey. He's on a week-to-week basis. It's on a week-to-week basis. He's an independent contractor, and we're going to see what kind of work he does. If not, we may have to send him down to NXT, probably 205 Live to be sure, you know. We'll see how he does.
Or how about
welcome back, Joey.
How about NWA?
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, we'll send you to NWA.
I heard what you guys did last week.
What are you
talking
about?
Skipped right over my promotion and went straight into NWA.
Yes, we did, because your promotion didn't do anything. No, did your promotion do anything this week?
Yeah.
They didn't.
Yeah, last week they put out a part one of something, and then this week they put out part two.
Mm.
And speaking of this week, there was, I didn't like the show, but the main event was Laredo Kid and Cage versus Taurus and Killer Cross.
Speak up.
Okay, so Killer Cross actually got work.
Yep.
There you go.
He doesn't do anything at Impact.
Well, they won't let him.
They won't let
it's
him.
Not that
or
he doesn't,
he
want,
doesn't
to.
Want to.
No, they won't let him. Oh. They've sent him home.
I thought it was.
He's on that go home thing. No, he's on that go home thing. They've sent him home.
He's on a tether.
Yeah, kind of like what your dad did to you last week. He sent you.
Yeah.
he didn't let you work. He sent you to DC.
Yeah. DC, shake things up down there.
You're supposed to go down there and take over like the NWO.
Joe's the whistleblower.
Ooh.
No, that's not true.
But yeah, so you didn't like it. Did you watch NWA this week?
No.
You did too.
It was so good.
Okay. Well, then I did.
Thunder Rosa was there kicking some butt.
Oh, she did a tag team match with her, with the one girl.
Yeah.
Marty Bell.
They spoke Spanish, so you could work on your Spanish homework and watch wrestling at the same time. They did a promo in Spanish. Oh, it was a lot of good. NWA is very educational.
Right.
Okay. You got to admit, I'm watching NWA this week, and they start playing the Into the Fire song.
Mm-hmm.
And they show these little tiny vignettes, and then they show the name of each wrestler.
And then you think about the picture I made.
No, they've built their characters. We know who their characters are. They've done a better job of building characters in 4 weeks than a lot of promotions that usually take some years. You know who the stars of NWA are if you watch NWA.
Yeah. Nick Aldis
already built it.
Colt Cabana.
What?
So,
yeah, Nick Aldis and Colt Cabana are the stars of the men's division.
And the Storms.
Oh, yeah.
Both Storms.
What about
Papa
Trevor
Storm
Murdoch?
And Mama Storm.
Okay.
Yeah, Trevor Moore. That's right. Trevor Murdoch
did wrestle
this week.
He jumped off the top rope. He had some man boobs bouncing. jumped up. I told you that he had his shorts pulled up over his belly button, so that way he didn't have Dunlap disease, where your stomach Dunlaps your belt. And you were like, what? Yeah, you had to respect that flying bulldog. That was sweet. Big ups to Trevor Murdoch.
Good show. Yeah. Good show. And then Thunder Rosa called the announcer a gordito.
Yeah.
Yep, caught that.
There you go.
Yeah.
You like the gorditas. No. So figure that'd be right up your alley.
Que pasó, eh? Okay. That's my Spanish.
I don't know. I'd be paying attention in there.
Some more Spanish. How was it? God dang it. MLW.
Oh, MLW. We have a new middleweight champion. Is it because Teddy Hart got injured? He got hit with the fireball, or whatever it's called. Because, you know, wrestling's fake. It wasn't supposed to hit him. But how much of a burn was it?
Sometimes when you play with fire, you do get burned. That's what my grandma would say. Oh, sorry.
He got burned pretty good.
Yeah.
He got burned pretty good from what I read.
I seen his face after, and then I was like, nobody else's face looked like that after they got hit with it. So, and then Myron Reed won it. So,
wow.
That's
Myron Reed.
Woohoo!
Oh, MLW, what are you doing?
They're kind of putting belts on like some young dudes like Myron Reed and the Von Erichs.
I feel sorry for them. Because about a month and a half ago to 2 months ago, they were the hot thing. And they just have gotten steamrolled by AEW and NWA.
Oh, MLWS?
Yeah. And they've done nothing wrong, in my opinion. They're still putting out decent shows, but people can only watch so much wrestling a week. And NWA is so popular, and of course AEW is very popular. And so I just think they're just kind of getting lost. I mean, Impact and ROH are getting lost too, but they've brought some of that on themselves. I felt like MLW was really building something nice, and man, it's hard on that little tiny channel. It's hard to compete.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what their way to get people to get eyeballs back on their product is. We'll see. Unless you guys can think of something.
So is Teddy Hart like injured, or is he like out?
He's really out for a long time.
Yeah, he's really out.
Like Luchasaurus out for a long time, or like...
No, he really has like bad burns on his face.
Yeah, I seen it. It was like he had like a whole ring around his eye.
Yeah.
After like right away.
And he's like,
so he probably can't have contact on it. It probably has to be like bandaged and stuff.
Right, and he's, you know,
and he's kind of older, right?
40 plus years old. He's not gonna heal like a younger dude. Anything.
He probably is going to have some surgery to like maybe to reduce scarring and different things like that, some plastic surgery.
I wonder if they got in trouble for like, are they going to ban that shit now?
I bet you they don't do that anymore. I bet you there's liability. They're going to end up paying some money. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's done. That was the last of that. But Contra will still be around. I mean, they really do got to get a feud going that gets people excited and interested. And I think MJF is gone. Your dad mentioned last week that he thinks MJF is gone because he gave the sunglasses away.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already replaced Hammerstone with Wardlow. So MJF's moved on. He has his new dynasty. It's going to make an impact not having these guys.
What did Impact do this week? Huh? Okay.
Didn't watch it. Did anyone watch Impact?
No.
No, but in a week... We will be getting Access TV because I'm switching streaming services.
Again?
Oh.
Yeah, again, that's how you save money. So we're going to be starting a different streaming service. So then I will be able to watch it on...
Check it out.
Is it on Tuesday nights?
It's on, yeah.
After Tuesday. So after NWA, I can watch
Impact. NWA after.
It is on so early where I live on Twitch that I just can't watch it. I'd like to, but I can't. And then it's replayed right now. It's being played right now while we're doing our show. So those are the two times to watch the show. There's no on-demand feature. Like, I can't go to Twitch and just watch it when I want to watch it. Like NWA, for example. Because NWA is on too early for me, too, to watch it live.
So what you're saying is it's still pre-taped.
It's live if you watch it on Access, I believe. Actually, it's live if you watch it on Twitch.
No, because if it's 4 o'clock where you're at, it doesn't.
What time's it on for you?
I think like 8.
Ooh, are you sure it's that late?
Yeah.
I think it's more closer to 7.
If it's, well, that would be 5 for you.
Okay, when I last looked at it, it's when we were 3 hours. Now we're 2 hours.
We're doing math here.
Yeah. We don't do daylight savings time.
Put your shoes back on, Joe.
Interesting.
Shoes.
That was a joke about doing math. See?
He's still upset that you replaced him with Steve. He's not going to talk to you much today.
No. Steve is so over.
I'm going to give Steve a pile joke.
Right, Dr. Joe? Fucking Steve, right?
Yeah. So, nope. Didn't watch Impact. Didn't watch ROH either. Poor ROH. They just are so bad now. There's nothing going on in ROH.
It's their fault.
Absolutely nothing.
They did it to themselves. They have good talent. They just don't put it on the... they'd just rather show highlights.
I mean, they have dropped to nothing. And you know what? The rumor is they're offering Marty more money than anybody's offering Marty. So Marty might stay because the money's so good.
You're saying if he's like...
Get rich?
If he's like CM Punk, he'll stay. That's what you're saying.
It's a lot of money, man. No one else is matching it. That's what's going around, that the number is insane. Like even WWE is kind of like, okay.
But
enjoy the money.
But he might just go to his friends for the experience.
I guess we'll find out soon because
his contract's up in November. It's November.
We're in the middle of November. It's got to end sometime
end
soon.
End of November. And then I read that Bandido is looking at possibly just staying independent, not signing with anybody.
Independent where?
Everywhere. He said he's going to follow the Lucha Bros.
Lucha Bros. Wrestling.
The way they do things.
Oh.
They don't know. I guess they're not. I guess the Lucha Bros are indie completely. They can go where they want to go. That's why they're still popping up on indie shows.
So that means that he could work for AEW?
He could, but not be exclusive. You know what I mean? And then bounce to AAA and bounce to New Japan. He could do whatever he wants if he can work the deal out.
Yeah, he like probably, Jericho. I think he should work like AEW, New Japan. Those would be hot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
AAA.
I don't know if he wants to do AAA.
He's done AAA before.
Yeah, but like for him to showcase his talent, like he should be against like people that aren't like him, like, you know, strong style or something.
Because he does strong wrestling and he's a stronger guy and he can go fast paced, so like he can honestly wrestle anybody.
But if you're an indie guy, you've got to take wherever the money is. If he's a true indie guy with no contract, he may have to take some AAA shows.
Yep.
I don't know. I get paid.
I would take that Japanese money.
Because he had a really good match last year with Phoenix and Flamita.
Dude, are you forgetting about the one against Will Ospreay?
That wasn't for AAA, though.
Yeah, but that was amazing.
Yeah, and on the same show, it was Phoenix versus Bandito.
We're not talking about them. We're talking about Bandito.
Okay. No, you just want to talk about Ospreay.
Yeah. So? Hater.
Always bringing up Ospreay. Yep. Speaking of ROH, big nothing happening in ROH.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about ROH.
I mean, not ROH. Speaking of,
New Japan.
Speaking of New Japan.
Yeah, they came to the States, but I mean, it's kind of, nothing big happened. The crowd was hyped, though. I'll give them that.
Wasn't it Liger's last match in America? That's what they said?
Yeah.
He wrestled a tag match.
Maybe it was his last singles match. We still don't know who his opponent's going to be for his very last match.
Muda.
It's the second night of Wrestle Kingdom, and they haven't announced it.
Him versus Muda.
You think so?
I don't think that would happen, but that's a good idea. Somebody older,
yeah.
So they could...
Probably.
They could do Suzuki or another legend. No? Who would he wrestle?
I don't know.
Then why are you saying no?
I don't know either. I definitely have no clue.
I just can't wait for them to like say Shibata can wrestle against Kenta.
You think they clear him, man?
Maybe.
It's a Daniel Bryant kind of thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
But that's what everyone's hoping for.
That's what I'm hoping for. And what's cool about not to get on a New Japan rant, but they split. This is the first time that they do wrestle. What is the pay-per-view?
Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, split in two nights. What? So this is the first time they do it. And maybe it's because they don't want it to be like 8-10 hours long like WWE. They're going to do it two nights. And that could be like the new
format. So two main events?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've heard that floated. Would WrestleMania, would WWE consider splitting WrestleMania in half?
No.
Why not? You can capitalize on two tickets. Okay, ticket sales.
Would he do that?
Would who?
Would Vince do that?
Hell yeah, he would. That's a money grab.
Are you kidding about me? The money.
Did you see that he just went from the Middle East and flew over just for money?
Why'd you just point over there?
I was pointing at my Ty Cobb. That's the Middle East over there next to Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb and Iverson.
Yeah. You got a problem with Ty Cobb and Allen Iverson?
No.
It's just practice.
Yeah. It's practice. We're talking about practice.
But yeah, I think he'd take the money. I don't know if it'd be a good idea and make for a good show. That's a whole other argument, but he's not going to consider that. He's just going to make the money because he could wrestle his main stars twice.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're going to do in New Japan.
Yeah, they're going
to. The winner of Jay White Naito is going to fight the winner of Ibushi Okada the next night.
Yes. So it's basically setting storylines for the it's kind of like their Royal Rumble to set new storylines.
Their next show's New Year's Dash. They just do like, it's like the after, like it's the same thing. It's like the same storylines and like, it's like the day after WrestleMania where people just show up.
Oh,
okay. Or like they just start big stories.
What does that have to do with
that
this?
That means that, I don't know. You know what?
Are you drunk? Yeah, no, failed. No. I'm going to start testing you for drugs. Are you doing drugs?
No.
You smoking weed?
No.
You're hanging out with RVD.
I'm telling your mom, drug test. Fail drug test because you can't.
Just because my favorite wrestler was Jeff Hardy does not mean I was doing drugs.
Well, you did high-five him, so maybe it got into your bloodstream.
Right. Okay, maybe. But that was a long time ago.
That makes a lot of sense now.
All right. Well, let's move on to the big two. What do you think was the better show? Personally, I'm going to say AEW this time. Okay.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Then let's talk about NXT first and get out of the way.
Nice. So I'm confused.
Well, might as well get it out of the way.
I'm
confused.
Was
it a bad show or what? Okay, tell us how you're confused.
They're juggling two pay-per-views? Are they trying to do Survivor Series and War Games at the same time? So they're trying to set two storylines.
Yep.
That's
why it's a mess. Because that's Vince for you. All
right.
Because NXT is the only reason that Survivor Series might be interesting.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares about Raw versus SmackDown. They just drafted them like, 2 weeks ago or something. They just barely split them up, and now we're supposed to care that they're going to fight.
Wait,
so nobody cares.
Which pay-per-view is first?
Survivor Series, I think, right? Or no?
That's next week, right? Next weekend?
Or is, maybe they're at the same weekend. I don't know.
War Games is NXT only, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's the night before.
It's the WCW pay-per-view.
It's the night before, so or it's either Friday or Saturday, and then
it's probably
the other,
Saturday,
and the other one's Sunday.
Yeah, so you have two stories, and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
I think they've ruined the Balor story by doing it this way because you've overshadowed Balor being this big heavy heel because you've got this other story going. Like he comes out, and then the other guys all come out, and they're trying to form the War Games team, and then him and Riddle split off, and you're just, like, kind of confused. Like, there's no build-up.
So he attacks Gargano, and then...
Gargano's hurt. He can't fight.
Yeah, that's not their fault. Gargano got hurt. It was supposed to be Gargano versus...
Yeah, but how did he get hurt,
Balor? It's a neck injury. I don't know.
So when he fell back and kicked him in the head, that broke his neck?
No, he could have done it at a house show that you didn't see on TV.
Yeah, it could have been something else. Yeah, but he's legit hurt.
Because Balor's trying to make it look like when he kicked him in the head with his weak kick, broke his neck. That's what he's trying to put it as.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
But that was...
They always do that stuff when it happens that way, but that's not what happened probably. But so that kind of messes things up and you had to move Riddle off. But it just feel like even that was rushed.
That was
so
rushed.
Keith Lee, Riddle... Dijakovic and Ciampa are all buddies all of a sudden. I'm just supposed to be like, okay, they're all buddies. All in the name of NXT. We're buddies. We're going to beat the Undisputed Era.
That is
we're
like
going to beat Roderick Strong.
That is the biggest band of misfits I've ever
Roderick
seen.
Roderick Strong sucks at the mic.
Oh my God, is he so bad.
That looks like, if you think about it, that's like a type of faction that Bobby Heenan would have be in charge of. Like, Dijakovic is... Like, he had so much hype, but I think he's terrible. I think Keith Lee is good. Matt Riddle, he should be drug test just like Joe. And Ciampa is a straight up badass, but I mean, other than that,
but they don't belong together. That's the problem.
Keith Lee and Dijak Kutlik just got out of a
rivalry. But they shook hands, Joe. They shook hands.
Yeah, they're good now.
Wow. They're good. They're good. It's now. All good. Everything's good. You know, that's how it works in NXT. You know, it's just too much. It's too much, if you ask me. There's no real story built, and they're just throwing everybody.
Riddle left the faction for them. And now he's going after
to go fight Balor.
Yep.
And which now, also makes no sense to
who's
me.
Joining the faction? He said CM Punk because it's in Chicago. That's what you said.
Yep. So I don't think CM Punk is in Chicago. I think he'd rather work NXT than WWE because it's more his style.
Yeah, but he's...
But in a cage?
Sure.
Don't they?
He was in a cage twice in UFC and got his ass kicked, so it's cool.
They paid him a lot of money. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they just added him to their page again, too, so that's a little weird. But maybe they're just messing with us. But
messing with you.
Yeah.
He's going to announce a match or some stupid shit, and someone's going to walk over to him and give him a stare down.
Colt Cabana. So.
Yeah.
That's personal stuff.
You know what? No, you know what's gonna happen? Seth Rollins is gonna come stare at him.
It probably will be Seth Rollins because they've been building it up. Like Seth needs to take that next step and stuff. And Triple H says you're either with us or against us. And it's so lame.
The storytelling
is just like Vince logic of how to like put together tag teams.
Isn't Adam Cole a more interesting champion than Rollins, if you were to put him up there? Like, I would rather have Adam Cole as the Raw world, or the whatever world champion on Raw. That would be way more interesting.
You mean
than
the Universal
Seth
champion?
Yeah, Universal champion. Whatever it is on Raw, I don't know anymore. They keep moving things around. But that would be way more interesting.
How does
Seth Rollins is not over.
How does Adam Cole beat Daniel Bryan, but then didn't he lose to Seth Rollins? Didn't they say that?
DQ, I think. There was like interference or something. Of course they did, because they're protecting Seth. They don't care about... They've never cared about poor Daniel. So that doesn't surprise me. They feed Daniel to get losses. To me, the best stuff on the show was the stuff that had nothing to do with any of these angles. You know, just some of the side matches. And I was so excited for Pete Dunne, Killian Dane, and then they screwed that up.
Terrible.
It's like all of a sudden then Priest comes out, and it's like... Dude,
well, we knew something was going to happen because we were rewatching it, and then you paused it, and you said, wait, there's only 30 minutes left. How are they going to fit a ladder match in this great match we've been waiting for in here? And then, oh, my God, he just
But yeah, we got a lot of
time
out. Of Shane Strickland. He's good, but then we got that chonk dude, Bronson.
Bronson. But you know what? But to me, that felt like an NXT match at least. To me, that's what NXT was when I turned in to watch NXT. Two dudes that are newer, and they're going to go at it. And they're going to have a nice long match.
NXT is Garza versus Rush.
Oh, here we go.
Woo. Oh, stop.
Bunch of straddling each other and stuff.
There is only one person in all of wrestling that I dislike more than Lilo Rush, and that's Shane McMahon. Ugh, I hate Rush. I don't care how good he is.
Rush.
Just I see his face. Lilo Rush, however you say his name.
Rush,
I don't like him.
Rush used to be good on the indies, but I thought that match was going to be good, actually. Like, but then when he got in the ring, because I've been looking forward to see a good another good Garza match, but
God,
didn't work out.
Terrible.
He kicked out of everything. Well, everything Garza threw at him, he kicked out of it.
There's no,
I was like, okay.
Two cruiserweight dudes should not be headbutting as much as those dudes. Like, that's not even believable. It's terrible. And then, like, what's the sense of the headbutt when you deal with, like, concussion protocol, things like that nowadays? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. None of that stuff makes sense. It's like that chonk dude wearing that thick thing, THICC. What the heck? He ain't thick. I read it on UrbanDictionary.com. He's not thick. He's chonk. 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 He's a chonker.
Okay, what about the women bleeding the hard way? Twice.
What is...
Wait, what?
Both matches.
Oh, never
both
mind.
Both matches.
I thought you were talking about some persistent... Priscilla Kelly's. Edit that
That's
out.
That's not the hard way.
Okay.
All right.
Edit it
anyway,
out.
Back. I mean, two women got their face busted, and that was not planned. I don't think in either of those was that planned, man. So there's some serious.
Yeah, that was probably the best match, was the Lo and Mia Yim.
You didn't even watch that match.
Yeah, I did.
What?
When you weren't here.
Okay.
When you're at school, supposed to be paying attention to schoolwork, not paying attention to girls. Okay. Yeah. It was pretty good. But I have a feeling like we got three Asian women on TV because of the Yoshis in AEW. I'm just saying.
Did you say Yoshis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put them out there.
Yoshis.
Yoshitatsu. Joe, shut up. You're like one of those trolls on Twitter. Like, you put your. You didn't spell that right, or there. You're one of those trolls, Joe.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, they did feature the Asians a lot. Yeah. Well, that's good, though.
There was no Kabuki Warriors this week, though.
But isn't that a good thing? Maybe, you know, like they say, AEW is influencing NXT and WWE to do the right thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, so. I was excited with... just to see like Xia Li back on TV, because I think that she should be featured. So, I mean, whatever helps, you know, these women get on TV. And it seems like they're working on another storyline for Xia as well. Like,
oh, yeah. Did you see that something Bourne, I forgot, Bourne, Vanessa Bourne said she's the sloppiest worker in the locker room or something like that?
Yeah.
So setting up some Twitter nonsense for a fight.
Trying to extend some more TV time for them, because they do deserve more time. I mean, if that's how you have to put yourself over, that's terrible. But, I mean, whatever. I'd like to see, you know, a rematch, grudge match maybe.
I just hope that WWE doesn't destroy this. Like, we had a good week a couple of weeks ago. Like, NXT was going somewhere good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, the WWE started coming down.
Yeah, they gave us
AJ, and you know, just that kind of stuff. You just are starting to get. It feels like a Raw or a SmackDown show. I spent NXT on my phone this time when I watched it. That's what I used to do when I watched Raw and SmackDown. I'd be on my phone most of the time, not really watching. I don't do that with AEW. So AEW, I think, came out this week and they hit a home run. If this is, that's what the show I kind of want, what they did this week. That's the shows I've been looking for. The right amount of promos, the right length of matches, because some matches don't deserve to go 12 minutes. You know, I think there was just the right amount of like squash, you know, the way Mox came out and squashed. And yeah, there were some good matches.
And what I liked about it is that they had live mics for Moxley, MJF, and Jericho. That was huge.
The Dark Order talked.
That guy probably shouldn't talk, because he's not that. Yeah. He's not very scary. He sounds like a science teacher or something.
But at least they're trying. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're trying. There's just more talking.
But what was cool?
And I like that.
With the Dark Order was that they're trying to get like Marco Stunt and stuff. And some people may have a problem with like. They say he looks young and stuff, so when they see him wrestling, they think that he looks like a grown-ass man's beating up a kid and stuff, and maybe he does need a mask.
He's older than Jungle Boy.
Okay, but he looks more like a kid, though.
Yeah, I mean, he has a baby face.
Yeah, he doesn't have, like, you know, some dudes have, like, man face. Like, okay, for instance, Spike Dudley was a little dude. Spike Dudley looked like a man.
You look like an old man.
Yeah, like like some of those people maybe in the Nashville crowd. I don't know.
Exactly.
Just saying. But, you know, he did look like it, and it helped him get over. Like, so people are having a hard time watching Marco, and he's really good. I've seen him in Beyond or Uncharted Territory, bar wrestling, things like that, events like that, and he's with his brother. They're really good.
You know, Rey Mysterio looked like a little boy for all those early years, they say.
Yeah.
They say, like...
Yeah, but he wasn't...
Without the mask, he looked very, very young, like a little boy.
But he wasn't short, like really short.
Yeah, he's like short. He's like 5'2", 5'4", something like that.
Yeah, but he's not like Marco Stunt size.
Ooh, the WCW version of Ray was not all buffed out like he is now.
Yeah, he wasn't buffed,
yeah.
but he was.
He was. I mean, he wasn't Marco Stunt skinny. I don't think you're right, but he wasn't exactly buffed up either.
No. Yeah, Marco Stunt's built like a 13-year-old, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Just weird looking.
Are you taller than Marco Stunt?
Yeah, he's taller than Marco Stunt. He
Marco
looked like
Stunt's. They said he's like 5'3".
Yeah, they look like. Yeah, he looks like E.T. All weird and stuff. Okay. Like the long Elliot.
That's not nice. Why do you keep pointing that way?
That's where you're supposed to touch the end of my finger, Joe. Haven't you watched E.T.? Jeez, oh, Pete.
He's pointing this way. He's young. Wall.
You gotta forgive him. He's young.
I've seen the movie like four times.
So, do you guys think Ross, it's on purpose? Like, I'm thinking the way the Bucks think. So, do you think Jim Ross's act is meant to make fun of trolls? Like, he points out all the things that those people would bitch about.
I think that...
So he's, like, kind of he's playing that role. Like, he says, yeah, he looks like a little boy, or yeah, he's really small, or whoa, what happened to the tag rules? And, you know, he's constantly, like, acting like a curmudgeon.
Right.
And so it's their way of saying, so if you think like that, you're just an old curmudgeon.
I think that Jim Ross...
Are they making fun of Jim Ross?
Is...
No, I think they're making fun of fans that think that way, the old fans.
I think Jim Ross is... He's only excited about guys that he likes. That's what I get from his play-by-play. Like, if Cody or Jericho or Kenny are in there, like, he was jacked up about Kenny versus Moxley match. Like, he was, like, old-school Jim Ross. But if you give him, like, the Dark Order versus Jungle Boy, he's snoozing. It's a slobber knocker for him there.
He likes Janela.
Yeah, he does.
Do you listen to McCall Janela matches? He likes Janela. They must be boozing buddies or some shit, because he likes Janela.
Right,
we've seen a picture of him with Janela.
Yeah, Andrew sent that to me. That's
so. I think they're buddies, because he does. He puts Janela over. I was like,
maybe he buys a lot of barbecue sauce from him.
Maybe. But yeah, I like it. I think he's doing it on purpose. I think part of it is their way of saying, you know, get on board. Because the one thing that keeps coming out with these ratings is they are killing it in the young aged demographic. And they're showing it. NXT, SmackDown, and Raw are getting old people. My age and older is what's watching NXT, SmackDown, and Raw. What's watching AEW are Joey's age and younger, you know, and a little bit older. They're all watching AEW. So we know which company is going to survive. Who has the new fans, the fresh fans, the fans that are going to buy shit, buy t-shirts and hats and all that stuff. So pretty interesting. I think that's maybe he's playing that role. That's just something I thought about. Like, it might be on purpose. Wouldn't put it past them.
Next week they have a battle royal.
Yeah. For a ring. I don't know what to think about that.
And then they said for the last two people, it turns into a singles match for a ring. It's like an AEW ring. Like a ring that goes on your finger.
Yeah. Some bling bling.
Yes.
And then the Lucha Bros have little medals. What's going on with all these like participation prizes in AEW?
Yeah, Joe, tell us about that stuff.
I don't know.
Tell us what Joe Rogan said on that stand up we were watching.
But I don't know if I want to see Darby versus Mox yet.
Yeah, you do.
Not yet.
Yeah. Because Darby's going to go the distance, I think.
No, I wanted to
He's going to show that he can take a beating.
I like that. Okay, great. Woohoo. But I wanted to see the Lucha Bros, because they lost the whole SCU thing. I want to see the Lucha Bros wrestle each other and then them take over the rivalry thing. I want to see Phoenix versus Omega, and then Pentagon versus Mox, because Pentagon...
You're like these trolls on Twitter.
Pentagon
that's like,
also...
I want to see this, I want to see that. Let them develop what they have.
Like...
I'm going to have to burst your bubble. There's two things that jump out to me with the Lucha Bros. One, they're the number one contender.
Yeah. Boom. You got the paper right
if
here.
If they're the number one contender, they're definitely going to be in some tag matches. Number two, if they're going to do a feud with Pentagon... They've set it up for it to be Christopher Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
And I on the Being the Elite, they had Christopher Daniels backstage after that whole thing, and they were interviewing him. And he's talking about it. He wants Pentagon.
He's going to get
smoked. He says, I have unfinished business with Pentagon. I'm going to, you know, take care of that. I have unfinished. These two are the tag champs. That's not my business.
I
have unfinished business with Pentagon.
It's going to end like it did on the ramp, where he hit him with the pile driver.
course. He's got to lose. But still, that tells me that if Pentagon's going to be in a feud, it's going to be with Christopher Daniels.
For now.
Which keeps Daniels busy while the other two are doing tag team wrestling.
What is Phoenix going to do?
Oh, I think Phoenix is the one you put into the big picture because he is over.
Yep.
Do you see, like, when he's alone in the ring in those big tag matches and he's doing stuff, the crowd is losing their mind for him. He is so over.
I
won't take much.
You should give, like, Phoenix versus Pac or Phoenix versus Kenny in AEW. That would be great.
Just said the same thing I did.
Have him beat the shit out of Spears or somebody like that. Or Guevara.
Guevara.
That would be a decent match. Beat Guevara.
And he's winning. And then, you know, he gets pummeled by the Inner Circle.
Proud and Powerful.
Yeah, there you go. And that sets up a Lucha Bros Proud and Powerful. Yep, there you go. So he fights Guevara. That's the one. I think him and Guevara could put on. Guevara could bump well enough for him and do just enough to make it work.
Do you want me to drop the rankings?
What?
Yeah, give me the rankings.
Okay. For the men's, the top five, not including the champs, Pac is number one. Cody's number two. Paige is number three. Mox is number four. And Darby's number five.
Nice.
We both said that we think that Cody, they're going to find a way to twist the Cody not challenging for it. Like, they're going to find he said that, like, he didn't give up. He didn't lose. MJF lost the match pretty much. And then
I still think we're going to wait a long time before they do that, though.
And then I said that maybe...
Yeah, they're going to build it up like he's never going to get it and stuff, and then they'll finally do it after maybe, I'd say, a year or even two before they give it to him.
Yeah, all out at the soonest, I would say.
And I would
say... Or all in.
Yeah, and I would say maybe, like, he won, like, a battle royal or something because they have a lot of those. And that's not really challenging, it's just winning it. That's what you have to do.
You can put Cody in, you can do this feud with MJF.
Yes.
You can get some good mileage out of that. Then maybe have him get into something with Moxley, because Moxley's not really a title picture guy.
No.
So they could have some kind of feud. Yeah, you can find lots of things to keep Cody busy.
Okay.
And then let some other people go after Jericho until you, like, kind of set it up, most likely for Omega. That's what I would assume.
Okay. The women's top five is Britt Baker's number one. Hikaru Shida is number two.
Yeah.
Number three is Emi Sakura.
Yeah.
Number four is Nyla Rose. And number five is Allie.
That's a bad list. Who would you out of that? No, seriously, out of that list, who do you want to fight Riho? I guess Brett, but...
Hikaru Shida.
But they fought already.
Well, I mean, like, she needs to get built up more. Like, she needs a couple more matches before anything happens. So pretty much Britt Baker for now.
But she's a face. They're all faces.
It doesn't make sense. Bea Priestley's not on here. Nyla Rose is in a face.
That's true, but Nyla already fought her. I don't want to see Nyla again.
Okay. Well, because we have nothing
What's the
to
tag
about
team
that.
Stuff?
The tag team, Lucha Bros are number one. Proud and Powerful are number two. The Bucks are number three. Best Friends are number four. And the Dark Order are number five.
Nice. So, yeah.
And next week we have Proud and Powerful versus Private Party. And where are... the Angelico and Jack Evans.
Probably drinking with Jim Ross.
Probably. I think that, Kip's got his thing now.
Yeah.
Okay, it all hit me. I remember going back a few podcasts, I was telling you guys, who was the valet for Joey Janela, and we couldn't think of her name. And
Penelope
guys,
Ford.
It was Penelope Ford, yes.
That was his girlfriend.
So now, oh, really?
Yeah, Kip's really giving it to her now.
Oh, shit. Well, in that promo that she's with, Kip now, she says she's, like, super bad. Like, there's a play on the word bad. And remember, Joey Janela's the bad boy. So it's kind of, I think we're going somewhere to eventually a Kip Sabian, Joey Janela thing. I think that's where that's going.
They fight for her like Edge and Matt fight for Lita.
Something like that. They're going to do something goofy like that, which is kind of perfect for the two of them because they're just mid-card guys.
As long as it's not like Bobby Lashley, Rusev stuff.
No, we don't want that. None of that kind of shit. No, you're right.
Nobody's getting punished by Vince right now.
Yeah, we don't want to. But yeah, I think that's what... So I think Kip Sabian is set. You know, he's not... I mean, the ones I see that need the most work are Okay, Sean Spears, they need to let Tully Blanchard talk. They really need to let Tully Blanchard talk. That would help a lot. Janela, they need to define him a little better, I think. The women, all of them need work. I don't know who else is there. Who else? Would... Dark Order needs work still. They still don't have that right. I don't know. What else?
Do they lose the guy, the little creeper dudes?
No, because they've got a good idea working with trying to put a mask on Marco Stunt.
Yeah, that's some. Yeah, that keeps Marco in there because that way, maybe he does join him for a little bit. He could join him for a little bit, and then it kind of, you know, he can break away.
His brother shows up, and then he leaves to start his own tag team with his brother. Maybe. It's the Stunts.
You can do some, like, Kane Undertaker-type stuff, where, you know, they used to do in the old days. Like, they could catch Marco and throw him in a box and lock him in a box. And just really weird, messed up, like, horror movie-type stuff.
Yeah, because that's some weird bondage-ass mask anyways. That's a little freaky.
And remember, Kevin Sullivan's there. So they've got Kong over here cutting hair.
Okay. And she comes out to
Is it real hair or is it like
that's you think it, they have that's a little piece extensions. Of... It has to be.
Yeah.
That's why Brandy's looking through the hair, trying to find the perfect piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you imagine you cut someone's hair for reals, all of a sudden there's a real fight breaks out right there on the ramp.
They just
cut my hair.
I think that's setting up like that way like Nyla Rose is the only one that can fight her and then it kind of builds her back up to maybe challenge for the championship again.
I'm worried that Kong just isn't going to deliver in the ring.
I don't think they'll put her in the ring only maybe just for Nyla and that's it. She's just used to push Nyla.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
What happened to her versus the Aja Kong?
She's really old too.
Because they were supposed to fight each other.
Yeah, maybe it fell through.
Yeah, but that's like, you don't want Goldberg versus freaking Undertaker. Those dudes are old. Exactly. And that's, they're just used for those spots. These women are, and they're not necessarily, I don't think they're going to wrestle. If they are, it's going to be quick. Like Nyla Rose just destroys her. Done. Over. Mm-hmm. Move on.
I mean, it's smart the way they're doing it because Brandy's not good enough of a wrestler either, so they have them together and they can talk and they can do good promos.
Brandy Rhodes in the promos for when she's trying to talk about Cody, she's all nice and stuff. But when she comes out with Kong, she's like, here's your knife.
She has split personalities.
I think she needs to work on that. Go see a counselor or something.
The whole division, I don't want to rail on it because we talk about it a lot. Because I'm just trying to try to stay positive about it. I read that Bea Priestley interview, and that made me like think, yeah, Bea's right.
Yeah.
You know, these girls are fucking, they're coming from nowhere. We have no division. We have nothing. And we're trying to put something together. It's going to take time. And that totally makes sense. It's just going to take time. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't rush this shit. You just can't.
Everyone's like nowadays, everyone wants it now and stuff. And then when it gets there, then it's over. It's kind of like when they wanted like Janela versus Moxley. It happened so quick. Now we're like, what the hell? Can we get it again? Can we get it on pay-per-view? You know, I don't get like people always. I don't know. That's why I stay off most of social media. Unless you tag me or something, then I look at it.
Yeah, you got to have patience.
Yeah.
I mean, patience works. Now, do you guys think MJF is a legit top guy?
What?
Yeah.
Does he join Inner Circle, though?
No. Hell no. He's making his own dynasty. He has Warlow. Warlow's the new Hammerstone.
Even he's AEW not joining asked the, it. They he's said. Not joining the Inner Circle jerks.
Even AEW teased it. But you said you think he's going to start something with some other guys?
Yeah, with Warlow.
Did you not watch it?
Is there any, I did watch it. Who else?
Well, they might get him someone else or maybe get him one of the ladies.
Same thing that we were just talking about. You're wanting the next step. Just enjoy the ride.
Who else would he deal with, though?
I don't know, but him and Warlow would be interesting. And the reason I say top guy is the one thing I think MJF lacks is his wrestling is kind of okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's where...
Like the Miz.
He has his Hagar.
Yes. Is he the next Miz? There's a great example. Hell of a talker, everything.
He's better than the Miz on the mic, though.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
He's way better than him on the mic.
Can he actually tell a story? Yeah.
In the ring?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've only seen him in, like, mainly, like, intergender matches.
That's what they use.
Or tag matches.
Yeah, somebody to help him. I don't know. I can, you know, now that I think about it, I kind of wish we would have got like him and Cody in a tag match or something. Like they could have won the belts or something.
What?
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, who's to say that it won't happen in the future?
MJF and Cody?
Yes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and then have a turn, a slower turn. I think if this was a promotion that had been around for a while, they probably would have done that. But
Yeah.
they needed MJF out there as a heel. They need more heels.
Yeah, plus
And they needed him on the mic.
plus Cody's like getting to his thing that he said in the beginning that guys like Darby and MJF are gonna get their push and they still believed it and he's sticking to his word.
Yeah.
Building up everyone equally, which is it's smart. I mean, because that's how you get invested with the show, watching these guys week in, week out. You kind of The one thing I really like about AEW is like they have their promo videos, like the Being an Elite stuff, and you almost feel like you know these guys, unlike the WWE people. Like you, even if they're like a heel, you still like them. I mean, that's how like guys like MJF get over, unless you're that one fan at that pay-per-view that it throws the drink at him. But I mean, which was a hell of a shot, man. That was a great throw.
So is that the problem with the women, maybe? They need their own like Being the Elite YouTube show so we get to know them? Because the Total Divas did do something for the
Yeah,
WWE
that's
women.
true, because you know a lot of people say like, oh, they're not Charlotte, they're not Sasha, things like that. But like when it was the Bellas and Natty and you know the yeah the
Naomi.
Funkadactyls and things like that, like it wasn't the best wrestling, but people were invested
What about
because
Eva
of the
Marie?
Paige?
because
That's
of
where they debuted
yeah
Paige.
Alicia Fox. Like you weren't getting the best wrestling, but you were invested in those people because you got to know them. Maybe they should do something like that.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for that show. I know everyone looks at it and like, oh, who would do that? You know, that's
Yeah.
just soap opera, but it was exposure. It really was. And you I think you can't jump from where they're at all the way to the four horsewomen of WWE
No.
overnight. You just can't jump to that
No,
level.
that's like every kid that picks up a basketball. He's not gonna walk out on the court and be fucking LeBron James.
Yeah.
You can
Exactly.
dream, but
Yeah.
I mean, we already, you know,
Yeah.
discussed that in the past. So,
Yeah. Let's not rehash that. Well, that's all I got. I mean, other than I want to watch a AAA event this weekend. We have a AAA pay-per-view that's on the list, and that's it. There's not much else going on. NWA's coming soon. Takeover's coming soon, but I'm not going to order the network, so I may not get Takeover.
But AAA is more
So,
important, as
oh, yeah, it
usual.
is.
He said Triple
Though,
H's.
oh,
No AAA.
okay. I'm going to bang on you a little bit, but you know, they're
Oh.
doing WWE. Why isn't When's Dr. Wagner going to retire? I mean, how long is this retirement tour?
I don't even know. I don't even know.
Yeah.
How long is the Jushin Thunder Liger's retirement tour?
Yeah, but he didn't have a big old match where he got beat and he said, I'm done.
Maybe that's who he wrestles.
Ooh, I shit, I'd watch that.
Maybe that's who it
A hair
is. Those
match?
both of those
A
dudes
hair match?
both of those
Hair for
dudes
mask match?
yeah, maybe those dudes just both retire after that
His
match.
hair got cut already.
But not in New Japan. Yeah,
What
that'd be
you would
awesome. You
be?
just gave me a dream match.
Mask versus mask match, even though we know what he looks like.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I want to see that. You shouldn't have told me that because I know it's not going to happen. It's one of those awesome things want to happen. Well, we should wrap it up. We've talked for a lot. Good to have the Donut Man back, I think.
Donuts are
What do
back.
you think?
No.
These donuts are what are the, what's that called when they're?
Is he in the Luke Harper
Yeah, he's a
doghouse?
stale ass donut.
Or is he just going to start getting pushed like Zack Ryder now?
I don't know. We'll find out. Steve will be back next week.
No, he won't.
What?
Sounds good.
Steve's dead.
That's
Steve's
not.
dead.
Steve's back in the closet.
Violence. Nobody was harmed in the recording of our show. Steve is not dead.
Steve's back in the closet.
What's Steve doing in your closet?
I don't know. Ask Andrew.
What?
It's your closet.
You said it.
I don't know why people are in your closet.
It's a little
All right.
weird.
On that note, You can find us at Indie Alley on Twitter. You can find our podcast at nerdylegion.com under Indie Alley. Subscribe to Nerdy Legion on all your favorite podcast apps. And yeah, give us a listen. Give us a look. We haven't got a 5-star review in a long time. You know,
that's it.
Maybe then we'll let Joey talk a little more.
No one wants to hear Joe talk. Unless you want to hear Joe talk, then give a 5-star review.
If we get 10 5-star reviews, it will be me versus Scuba Steve. We will have a match.
10? That's asking way too much.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We'll have
that's
a match.
Way too much, Joe. You're a dreamer.
And you can find Fred at Comics Fred. You can find me at Real Comics. And you can find our other show. What the hell is it called?
At Nerds from the Underground.
Yeah.
Nerds From.
See, you're giving the wrong address out. At Nerds From. So, all right. You guys go ahead
Fred
and take
reads
us out.
Comics.
I'm done.
What?
Fred reads comics.
It's Comics Fred, fool. What?
Are you gonna end the show?
I forgot what I said.
Wrestling's real. People are fake. We out. You're fired.